I'm going to start from John chapter 6, verse 1, page 1069. Now, this is the start of this miracle, so listen carefully to what happened. Okay, reading it, John chapter 6, so page 1069, starting at verse 1. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him, because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" So, at the beginning of this miracle, Jesus goes up on the mountainside with his disciples. That's his 12 closest followers. What on earth? Hang on a minute. Oh my goodness. Don't panic. Don't worry. It's all right. It's okay. It's okay. I think it might be Jemima. Let's just see what's going on. Jemima, what are you doing back there?
Hang on. Oh no.
You're using your mouth to stir. Do you want me to take that for you? Okay, then you can speak.
It's kind of hard to speak with that in your mouth.
Yeah, it must be. What on earth's going on?
Well, Melissa said there were lots of people here for the service.
Yes.
And that there wouldn't be enough food for the barbecue afterwards. So I decided to take matters into my own hands and get baking.
Oh, well, thank you. That's very kind of you to get baking. Tell me, how's it going?
Well, not very good. No, well, they don't taste very good, and there's just not going to be enough food.
Ah, well, now that's interesting, because we were just saying, actually, that was similar for Jesus, wasn't it?
What? He wasn't a very good baker either.
No, it was not that, but there were lots of people to feed, and it just didn't look like there was going to be enough food for everyone, and that's what we were just reading to everyone here.
Well, that is a problem. How many people were there?
Well, it says a bit later on that there were about 5,000 men, and then that doesn't include all the women and children as well.
5,000?
Yeah.
What did Jesus do?
Well, that's where we just left it. Jesus asked one of his followers, Philip, what to do.
Well, I guess they could just go to Waitrose. Then they buy lots of food for everyone.
Well, no, except they didn't have Waitrose back then, did they?
Well, okay, Tesco then.
No, they didn't have Tesco's either.
What?
No, they didn't have Tesco's either. Let's read what happens in the next part. All right?
Okay, I'll get my Bible.
Okay, you go for that. Okay. So, going to keep going. See what Jesus did. So, John chapter 6. And we'll start again at verse 5. All right? So, we'll pick it up from where we just left off. Okay. So, verse 5. Don't worry, she's gone to read her Bible. Okay, when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test them, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish.
Yep. How did all those people have enough to eat from just 5 loaves? It says that Jesus took them, gave thanks, and gave the food to everyone, and they had as much as they wanted.
Yeah.
But 5 loaves is not a lot.
No, you're absolutely right, Jemima. In fact, he says the people were full.
I know. Ah, Maybe they were really big loaves, like this one.
Really big loaves?
It's really heavy. Right?
Do you want a hat?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Can you get it?
That's enormous.
Here's one I made earlier.
You said things weren't going so well. That's pretty impressive.
Well, if the loaves were this big, then everyone could have lots.
Well, except that it doesn't say that they were enormous loaves. It says they were 5 small barley loaves. So they wouldn't have been this big.
Yeah, but 5 small loaves wouldn't even feed everyone here, let alone 5,000 people. Ah, maybe they were just really small people.
What?
Yeah, like the borrowers.
Like the borrowers?
Then they wouldn't need much food.
But Jemima, the borrowers aren't real.
What?
No, they're not. Anyway, let's move on from that. They weren't little people.
Well,
they were normal, like these people.
All I'm saying is there's no way 5 loaves could feed 5,000 people. That's impossible.
Exactly. You're right, Jemima. It is impossible. And we're going to see just how impossible it is. We're going to see how far that bread would have actually gone. So hidden round the room, there are 5 loaves of bread. And I need some help. I need some people to bring them to the front. So boys and girls, could you have a search around? You might need an adult
to help you.
I'll
have a look too.
You have a look as well, Jemima. Go and have a look, see if you can find 5 loaves of bread, and when you've got them, bring them to the front. Now, you might need an adult to help you with one of them. Oh, brilliant. Thank you. Well done, Aaron. Great. 1. Okay. 2. 2 loaves. Nice. 3 loaves. Going well. 4 loaves. Have we got one more?
I'm still looking.
Where's the one more? Have we got it? Oh, well done. Well done. Well done. Well done. Okay, bring them to the front. There we go. 5 loaves. Okay, we've got the 5 loaves that we've got here. And in a bit, we're going to see how impossible it was. We're going to work out how much bread that would have been for each of you. Okay, so now we're going to work out how much bread there would have been. Okay, so we've got 5 loaves here. Now, can you remember how many people were there in front of Jesus at the time? Yeah, go for it. 5,000. Well, 5,000 men, but there would have been women and children as well. But we're going to say there were about 5,000. Okay, 5,000 people there, because that's what we know. So 5,000 people. Let's say we've got about 100 people here. So we're going to work out how much bread that would have been. And boys and girls, you can then distribute it amongst us. Okay, so 5 loaves, 5,000 people. Which splits down to, if we could get rid of, so that's 1,000 people per loaf, isn't it? 1,000 people per loaf. Go with me on that. Okay, if I get this wrong, Phil Cooper will correct me, because he's a maths teacher. So, therefore we can get rid of 4 loaves, all right? So we get rid of 4 loaves. So, that would be 1 loaf for 1,000 people. Okay, 1 loaf for 1,000 people. I need a knife, hang on. Okay, 1 loaf for 1,000 people. So, we'll cut the loaf in half. And we'd have half a loaf for how many? 500, thank you. Half a loaf for 500. So, for 100 people, I'm going to have to split this into 5, which is not a great number to split it into. But there we go, that's what we're going to do. So, I'm going to split it into 5. 1, okay, now that, I can give that. Okay, there we go. So, and then we split that one in half like that. So that one in half like that. So we've got roughly, okay, so we've got 5 bits. So it would have been about that much. So that much for 500 people, so we can get rid of 4 of them. Okay. Okay, we got rid of 4 of them. So that to share amongst all of us here. Okay. So, boys and girls, I need you to spread this around. Okay. So, how are we going to do this? Just rip a bit. Ella, rip that and give a bit to others. All right, so spread it around amongst everyone. Everyone needs to have a bit, all right? See if you can do it. Okay, you need to get some from someone who's got... I haven't got any. I've run out already. Okay, So you need to go and find someone who's got a bit of bread. You need to spread it out amongst everyone. I say, give it out. How's it going? People at the back, have you got any yet? Nothing going on at the back. No, nothing. Guys, keep spreading it around. It's got to get to the back. You've got to spread it out. He's not going to get to the back, you think? Okay, spread it out. You got a bit? Still, group at the back. Oh, by the way, when you get it, you can eat it. Have your feast. Enjoy it. Okay, you got it? Oh, well, okay, you can have that bit. Okay, boys and girls, come back to the front now. If you've spread it out, well done. When you've done, you can. Oh, keep spreading it out then if you want. As you come back, spread it out to people. But be quick. Okay, that'll do. Come back now. Ollie, give some. Oh, all right, yeah, you can have it. Okay, you have it. Okay, sit down there. That's it. Okay, so they would have been, well, who knows? Maybe the loaves would have been smaller. But that's what it would have done. It wouldn't have gone very far, would it? Do you feel full? Do you feel like you've had enough? No, it was a bit rubbish. Well, okay, you do, but there you go. Maybe you've got a tiny tummy. As you can see, it wouldn't have gone very far. But then Jesus was no ordinary man. He did a miracle. And so we're going to read on. Let's read on in John chapter 6. So John chapter 6, we read on. It says, when they had all had enough to eat, he said to the disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world.
But,
yeah.
But,
yes.
I couldn't find any.
Couldn't find any what?
There weren't any loaves down here.
Oh, no. Oh, Jemima, no, we found them. We found them all.
Oh, okay. Can I have some then?
Oh, no, there's none. No, there's four and a half loaves in there. We're throwing them away. We're throwing them away. They're gone. There's a tiny little crumb there.
Oh. But where's it all gone?
We chucked it and we gave it out and it's all gone.
But the passage says there were 12 baskets left over. And that was after 5,000 people.
Well,
There must be a little bit I can have. No. I'm so hungry. I'm starving.
Okay, all right, yeah, okay. A little overdramatic. When Jesus did the miracle, there was lots left over. In fact, there was more than they had when they started, which is amazing.
That is amazing.
It is amazing.
Oh, if only we had Jesus here. Then we would never run out of food. He would be able to do miracles all the time and make loads of bread.
Well, that's what the people at the time were saying. And they saw all the great miracles and signs that Jesus was doing. And so they followed him into the next town.
That's what I would do.
But you know what? They missed the point. They didn't understand what was going on. They only followed him because they wanted more food.
Maybe they were hungry.
But Jesus said to them there was a way that they could never be hungry again. But when he said that, he wasn't talking about normal bread. He was talking about something far better.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
What's that? I'm always hungry.
Well, we're going to find out in just a moment. All right, boys and girls, we're going to now say goodbye to Jemima. Let's say goodbye.
Bye, boys
Jemima.
And girls. Bye, everyone. Bye.
Bye. I'm now going to ask Joanne if she would come and read the next bit in John's Gospel where Jesus explains more about the feeding of the 5,000. So if you'd like to take up a Bible from the tables in front of you and turn to John chapter 6, the page number on the screen there. Joanne, over to you.
Okay, so John chapter 6, verse 25 on page 1070. When the crowd found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, you are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." This is the word of the Lord.
Great. Well, do keep that passage open in front of you. I'm just going to need to sort myself out here. I've ended up with too many Bibles on the lectern. Great, well, we're going to think about that passage. Now, if with that miracle that we told earlier, the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, that Jemima and I told you all about and we read from the passage, if we come away from that thinking, well, that is just a story about Jesus feeding some hungry people, then we've missed the point, haven't we? Sometimes people will say, oh, well, it's really a story all about sharing. Because you've got the little boy who brings his 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And some people therefore will wax lyrical about, well, it's really about sharing. And maybe everyone just shared what they had. But actually that's not what it's about either. Because Jesus says it's about something else. Jesus says in the passage that there are 2 kinds of food. Ken, are we on Apple TV? Thank you. Jesus says, there are 2 kinds of food. Now, do you notice that? Have a look at verse 27 of the passage. Just look in the Bibles at verse 27, because we want to see what Jesus says this is actually about. He says, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." So do you see there? Jesus is saying there are 2 kinds of food. And he's saying to the crowd, "Crowd, you've actually got the wrong kind of food in your mind. There are 2 kinds of food that you can work for or that you can live for that are at the centre of your life. There are 2 kinds of food." And he makes it clear up on the screen. I'll put them out there. It says there's food that spoils and food that endures. He says there's those 2 kinds of food. And he says, stop living for one and start living for the other. Stop working for one and start working for the other. So we're going to think about these 2 kinds of food. And it's worth us asking now, what kind of food are you working for? Are you living for? So first, food that spoils. The crowd are following Jesus. They're following him around, and you could think, well, surely Jesus should be thinking, this is going brilliantly. Fed 5,000 people, and now he's got a massive following. Lots of people are with him. They're following him around wherever he goes. And yet he says to them, you've got the wrong idea. You've got this wrong. In fact, he says to them, again, have a look, verse 26. He says, I tell you the truth, you're looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. He's saying, you're just following me because you want food. 5,000 guys, they know there's free food. They're going to follow him because they want their stomachs filled. Typical bloke. They want their stomachs filled. They're like this crowd. Says, quick, there's some free Chinese food over at, and they're just rushing. They're gone. That's what they're like, Jesus is saying. You're after just bread. And they're probably thinking, well, if we follow Jesus, we may never need to work again. All our problems are solved. The food machine is here. We just follow him, and our stomachs will be filled for the rest of our lives. No more work. Brilliant. They're focused on the here and now. And Jesus says, I've not come to give you that. You've missed the point. Now, I want you to see, actually, that's what we do too. Our focus in life can very much be on the here and now. After all, why do you do the job that you do? Or why did you do the job that you did? Well, there can be a whole load of reasons. I was looking on a human resources website, and they listed a whole load of reasons why people do the jobs they do. I wonder why you do the job you do. For some, it's personal fulfillment. Some like to accomplish goals. They feel like they're contributing to something bigger than themselves. Some like love what they're doing and love the clients they serve. Some love the camaraderie. Some like problem solving and so on and so on. But this website said, at the end of the day, whatever your personal reasons for working, they say, the bottom line is almost everyone works for money. Whatever you call it, compensation, salary, bonuses, benefits, or remuneration, money pays the bills. Money provides housing, gives children clothing and food, sends teens to college, and allows leisure activities and eventually retirement. To underplay the importance of money and benefits as motivation for people who work is a mistake. So they're saying, bottom line is, we do work for money, don't we? After all, that's the way that we get the food that we have, the houses that we're in. But we need to see, all of those things, most of them, they're not bad things, but they are all things that will spoil, won't they? They're all here and now things that will one day be gone. You know this, the food that you order 1 week, you've got to reorder it the next week because people keep eating it. You've got to keep going at it, or it rots. You buy a load of fruit, put it in the fruit bowl, and it rots. Well, you've got to keep buying it, haven't you? You can't just buy the food once. The house that you live in, one day you're going to have to move out of it. One day, it will be knocked down. One day, the car that you have, which maybe is your pride and joy, one day, well, it'll rust and it'll be on the scrap heap. Even the position that you have at work, one day, you won't have it. See, everything, sadly, even our families are temporary in one sense and are all in danger from one day. One day. A day we hope will never come, but inevitably it will. Now notice how Jesus deals with these people. These people are coming to Jesus for, well, bread. For bread, food that spoils. And Jesus doesn't give it to them this time. We need to learn from their mistake. Lots of people come to Jesus because what they really want is Jesus to give them the food that spoils. So they'll say, well, Jesus, I'll come to you, but what I really want you to give me is success, or I really want you to give me health. I really want you to give me happy family. I really want you to give me a nice house. I really want to give me whatever it is. So Jesus, I'll use you to get food that spoils. And Jesus says, that's not why I've come. I've not come to give you something so small and so temporary. He says, don't work for food that spoils. but for food that will endure to eternal life. So let's think about that. Food that endures. So he says, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. Now, he's not just saying, be wise when you go shopping about the best before dates. He's not just saying, you know, when you get your shop delivered from Tesco's, if that's how you do it, be really careful, make sure you've got food that will endure. Go for the long life, don't go for the, you know, short term. He's not saying that. He's saying, go for food that will endure to eternal life. And food that endures to eternal life is not just that the food will last, but that the person who eats it, the person who consumes it, they will last for eternity. They will last forever. And wouldn't that be a better thing to invest your life in? Wouldn't it be better to invest your life into something where you go, actually, this is something that will last forever, will mean I will last forever? Wouldn't it be better to invest in something that could actually mean your family could last forever if they take hold of it? Well, you say, well, yeah, of course. Of course it would. How? Tell me how. Well, that's what the people then said. Have a look, verse 28. Verse 28, they say, then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Ah, so now here we go. They're saying, what's it going to be? Jesus, what have we got to do to have this bread that will mean that we and our families and others can last for eternity? And that's what we want to know, isn't it? Because we generally think, okay, what's it going to be? What's the list going to be? What's the list of things that we've got to do? How good have I got to be? Is it that I've got to be more good than bad? Is it that there's a whole list of things which Jesus said, do this, 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 therefore you're in. You're okay. What is it? What have we got to do? Jesus answers them. Verse 29, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Well, now that's a curious answer, isn't it? What does that mean? What does that actually mean? He's got us on the edge of our seats. We're thinking, well, okay, what have I got to do? And he says, believe in the one God has sent. Well, the people then didn't get it either. So they say, verse 30, they asked him, what miraculous sign will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So they're saying, Jesus, give us a sign. Moses in the Old Testament, God gave them food from heaven. You look back in the book of Exodus if you wanted to see that. Well, they're saying, that's what happened back then. Jesus, you do a miracle as well. And you think, well, Jesus has just fed 5,000 people. Have they forgotten that? Well, they seem to have done. It's amazing how blind you can be, isn't it? But Jesus says to them, verse 32, I tell you the truth, it's not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it's my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus is saying, the bread of life, the food that can make you and me endure forever is Jesus himself. Now that causes a problem for you and me, doesn't it? Because if it was a list of things to do, if it was a list of rules or a list of moral things that we need to have, a list of attributes, then we could think, right, well, I can tick them off. I can try really hard. But if it's a person, how do you receive that? How do you get that? Well, Jesus has said two things, hasn't he? He said, you've got to believe in me and you've got to come to me. You've got to believe in me and come to me. Now, believe in me, that's not like believing in the borrowers. It's not so, okay, I believe Jesus existed. It's more than that, isn't it? That's where the come to me thing comes in. It's clearly saying it's far more than just saying, yes, I know Jesus existed. I believe he was the Son of God. There you go, I believe. No, it's more than that. So what does it mean? Well, I want you to see that it is both simple and hard. It's both simple and hard, receiving Jesus. It's simple in the sense that believing in Jesus is just coming to him and asking him to give you life. It's simple. John Calvin was a 16th century theologian. There he is on the screen. There you go. Nice hat. And he said about this passage, he said, heavenly life is near to us. So that there is no need to fly above the clouds or cross the sea. For Christ descended to us because none could ascend to him. What John Calvin is saying is, in this passage, Jesus is saying, this is the reason I've come. I've come to give you life. I've come to give it to you. You don't earn it. You haven't got to do the list of rules. You haven't got to be more good than bad. You've just got to receive it. It is incredibly simple. Simple for you and me. Of course, it cost Jesus everything. It cost him his life. He died so that you and I could have life. So it's very simple. But in some ways, it's also hard. Go back to those two foods, as we had at the beginning. Food that spoils, food that endures. And do you remember what Jesus said at the beginning? He said at the beginning of this passage, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. Jesus is saying you've got to stop doing something. You and I, we've got to stop working for bread that spoils. Now, when he says that, he's not saying, oh, therefore, stop doing your job. You haven't got to still keep doing your job. But actually, he's saying, don't make your job or the things that it provides for you at the center. Don't put them at the middle of your life. Don't make your life all about things that spoil. But make your life all about Jesus. Put him in the middle. You've got to stop working for bread that spoils and start living for Jesus, putting him in the middle. That's why I say in some ways it's really hard. Because all of us instinctively, we want to live for bread that spoils, for food that spoils. We don't want to give up on those things. But actually Jesus says, you've got to. Stop living for those things. Start living for me. And the promise that he makes is incredible. Verse 35, he says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. Now that is an incredible promise, isn't it? He's saying, if you come to me, if you put me at the center, I will be so satisfying for your soul, you will never hunger again. Not physical hunger, but spiritual hunger. More essential. You will never hunger again. You will never thirst again. Come to me, Jesus says, and I will completely satisfy you. Christian, if you're a Christian here today, I would think that there are probably some here who are probably feeling or thinking, I don't think Jesus is actually that satisfying. Are you thinking that? Maybe there are some who are. I don't know that Jesus is that fulfilling. If that's you, probably what's going on is this. You're probably doing what the crowd were doing. It's very easily done. I know I've done it in the past, where actually what you're doing is you're saying, Jesus, I want you to give me this other thing. Jesus, you're great, but I really want this other thing. And Jesus, you give me that thing, please. And if Jesus doesn't, then we start to feel, well, Jesus, maybe you're not that satisfying. When it wasn't Jesus we'd come to, it was that other thing that we really wanted. And what we need to do is to come back to Jesus and say, Jesus, would you be at the center? Not that other thing. I repent of that. I turn away from that. I want you at the middle. And if you're not a Christian, it's great that you're here. It's brilliant that you've come along. Which is it going to be? Jesus throws out the challenge, doesn't he? He says, which are you going to live for? Food that spoils or food that endures? The here and now or things that will get you through to eternity? And if it's things that are going to get you through to eternity, which of course is the wise choice, isn't it? You've got to come to Jesus. It would at least be worth looking into further, wouldn't it? If you're not yet a Christian. Maybe you're ready today. You say, well, I need Jesus. I want to come to him now. I'm going to give us a moment of quiet where you can respond, if you want to, in your heart to Jesus. Left it down here. If you're wanting to find out more, I've put out some of these little booklets. They're called Crossover to Life. They're free. You can pick them up as you leave or as you go out for barbecue. They're free. Do grab one of them and they tell you a bit more about Jesus. Keep coming along to Emmanuel as well. or to another church that preaches and teaches the Bible, come to our 10:30 service, our 4 o'clock service, and inquire, find out more about Jesus. Because Jesus is saying, this is what's at stake. It's either food that spoils, or you can have food that endures to eternal life. I'm going to give us a moment of quiet, just for our own responses to God. If you want to, you could look back over the passage. Moment of quiet, and then I'll lead us in a prayer and we'll sing our last song. If you want to talk about anything that has been said, anything that I've said, do grab someone who you know to be a Christian. Come and grab me if you like, and I'll very happily talk to you further about this. Let me just pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he is the bread of life. And I pray, please, you would help each one of us, everyone here, to come to Jesus, to believe in him, to put him at the center. Amen.